Nice to be with you all again. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. And starting with verse 25. Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knows the Son but the Father. Neither knows any man the Father except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And another verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. What was the Lord Jesus like? He described himself. Meek and lowly in heart. The meekness and gentleness of Christ. But I thought he was the one who said, I'm the light of the world. I'm the bread of life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And to us we say, wait a minute. He's meek and lowly in heart. And yet he's all these other I ams. To us, it doesn't seem quite congruous because we're so used to people who boast how great they are being anything but meek and lowly in heart. And yet the Lord is telling us what he's really like. Paul in Philippians chapter 2 brings up the same two ideas. And he uses the terms, he who existed in the form of God took the form of a servant, a slave. Now the word there for form is morphe, and it means the outward display that a person puts on that reflects a genuine inward truth, not just a show. Outwardly, but his display of Godhead glory was valid because he was God. He was that great. But he also then set that aside and took a form of a slave. Not a pretended slave, but because it reflected a heart that was meek and lowly. The meekness and gentleness of Christ. Both go together. The Lord, when he washed the disciples' feet, was not just for show. It was to be an example. But it truly reflected his servant character. We, that's too beneath us. None of the disciples who were there got up to start washing the feet, but the Lord did. And I've been thinking, who are we like? Who are we like? When God made man, says he made us in his image after his likeness. Are we like him? We ended up thinking we were smarter than God. Our parents. And they disbelieved what the Lord told them. Don't eat of it because you'll surely die. And they obeyed the serpent. You'll become as God. And they became like the serpent, not like God. For God, he reflects the character of a service and meekness and lowliness. The devil is, I'll be as God. That's where it all started. In Isaiah 14, I will lift up myself above the heavens. I'm great. We've seen that in the heart of man ever since. The big eye, Pharaoh. Who is the Lord that I should obey him? Who do you think you are, Moses? Don't you know who I am? King of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, looks out all the buildings, all great Babylon. Is not this great Babylon that I have built? I have built the disciples. I wonder which one of us is the greatest. You know, we're among the 12. That's not good enough. We gotta be first. Do you have an ego? You know, the Greek word for I is ego. Do you have an ego? Are you proud? I used to wrestle, and whenever one of the other, when we came off the mat, after the meet, first thing we said to somebody else was, how did I look? Yeah, how did I look? Yeah, the I, the ego, gotta make sure you look good. And the ego, I, pride, is a very deceitful thing. You could have the big I, and I'm better than you. And you know how many arguments we get into. You think about and analyze your arguments with your wife or with somebody else. So much it comes down to who's going to win the argument? Who has the last word? You know, I'm a little bit better than you are. And it doesn't matter if you're wrong and I'm wrong. It's you're more wrong than I am. So I feel more justified. I. Then there's the little I. Oh, I'm like Moses. I can't speak. Pick somebody else, God. I can't do that. Or I'm not pretty enough. I don't like my hair. I don't like something about my face or my features. And sometimes we fish for compliments, so people will say, no, no, you look fine, you look great. Or I'm not strong enough. Or I'm not smart enough, intelligent enough. You know, the verses we read in Matthew, Jesus had just finished reproaching the cities of Chorazin and Capernaum and Bethsaida because they had seen so many of his mighty works, and yet they didn't repent. And then the Lord praises the Father that God reveals himself not to the wise and prudent, but to babes. If you're going to come to the Lord and you're going to hear his word, you have to come as a little child. No pretense. Not like Naaman. You remember Naaman the leper? He was a great man, great general, had a lot of things going for him. And he was proud. But he was a leper. And he had to come. And the king of Syria sends a letter to the king of Israel and says, oh, we hear there's a prophet in Israel. Can you heal Naaman of his leprosy? What is it? Look at how he's trying to pick a fight. And Elisha says, send him here. Naaman, go down and dip in the Jordan 7 times and you'll be healed. And at first, Naaman, too proud. I know, this is ridiculous. I look like a fool. There's plenty of rivers in Syria better than that river. forget it. And he rides off on his high horse, literally. And there was a wise servant there of his. He says, Master, if you'd asked you to crawl to Rome, you know, or do something great, wouldn't you have done it? How much more when he just says, go wash and be healed. Go as a little child. And he does it. He listens to him. He says, no, you're right. He humbled himself. He said, right. And he did it. And he came. His flesh became like a little child. That's where God deals with us. When we take a lowly place, because that's the way he's like. That's the way our God is like. He is meek and lowly in heart. And the Lord says, learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. Peter, one of the disciples, you know, he wants to defend the Lord with the sword and go down swinging. Put that away. That's not the way I'm dealing with this. Peter learned that. He humbled himself. In his letters, you see the things that he says. This is the example of Christ. When they threatened him, he didn't threaten them. He didn't say, I'm going to get you all. You wait till the judgment day. Or anything like that. He took it because he was bearing our sins. What a meek and lowly. He took the form of a servant and even went to the cross. The cross to bear our sins. And when he prays to the Father in Gethsemane, not I, but your will be done. And he calls on us. Lord, will use us when we say, not I, but Christ. When we put aside our pride, put aside the best things we think we're so great at compared to somebody else. Put aside our comparisons. We all have a gift from the Lord. Okay, yours is not the same as mine. Nobody is better than the other. We should never speak down on to somebody. We do. We think we're superior. How many times yet in scripture, I went through looking at how many scriptures there were the apostles and the writers kept saying to the believers, be meek and lowly. In fact, it's worth going through them. If you have your Bibles, it's worth jumping through them because we're practiced with pride for many, many, all our lives. Our little granddaughter's 14 months old. And yesterday she wanted a drink from her cup. And when she went to drink from her cup, there was nothing in it. So she threw the cup. She threw it away. How dare you give me a cup without drinking it? Yeah. How young before the old pride comes out. It's there from the very beginning. We're practiced in it, very beginning. And if you grew up with siblings, my brother and I were about a year and a half apart. And I'll tell you, we fought all the time. I mean, we were competitive just in general, but we ended up battling each other. You know, who's better than them? I'm better than you, and all those things of pride. Put that aside and to follow the one who showed us the example that he was meek and lowly in heart. And that's what drew people to him. People will never be drawn to us if we stand on our holier than thou. We could never sin like that person sinned. We could never do the things those low lives do. That's simply not true. We just didn't have the opportunity because we're made of the same flesh. But we're to learn from the Lord. We have to come to the point where we realize we're burdened by sin. Sometimes it's burdened by our own ways. We feel we're worn out. And we feel the burden on us. And we have to say, we have to come to the Lord. And the Lord says, you might think a yoke is a burden. Because in the Old Testament, you know, when Babylon overtook Israel and put them under the yoke, you had to do exactly what they said. You were their servants. And the Lord says, You need to take my yoke. You need to be yoked up to me when you're burdened, and I'll give you rest. Because my yoke is such that I can adjust the load, and I can take most of the load. I'll let a little bit there, not more than you can bear. But in grace, I'm tied to him. His burden is easy. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. And then the Lord says to us as believers over and over again, I want to look at these scriptures. In Isaiah and Psalms, it talks about the Lord looks at a contrite and broken spirit. He won't despise that when we come before him in our needs and our lowliness. Say, Lord, I need you every hour through everything that comes our way. But in dealing with one another, I don't know if you ever have any problems in this assembly, but sometimes in our assembly, people have problems in each other. And if you analyze it, you find it comes down to the same types of things. There's not a lot of lowliness and meekness going on. There's a lot of pride and arrogance going on. And you're fighting over those things. And we lose sight of the Lord. And look how many times the Lord exhorts the believers in the early church to the spirit of meekness. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. There were a lot of problems in Corinthians. And Paul cared for them, and he did not want to come with a rod. Verse 21. What will you? Shall I come unto you with a rod or in love and in the spirit of meekness? I tell my children, I want you to correct our grandchildren, because I don't want to be the ones to be the grandparent that has to correct your children if they're misbehaving. You know, we want to be grandparents. We want to give them all the goodies and all those kinds of things. But we don't want to be to have the ones to don't do this. And Paul was like that with Corinth. A lot of problems there. But I want to come in love. I want to be with you. I want to take a meek place. Galatians 5:23, the fruit of the Spirit. Meekness. Meekness. Meekness means that you don't always take offense. Lowliness, that you don't give offense. You're not always, we live in a day where everybody wants to play the victim. They found out that you can make money when you play the victim. So you can play the victim when you're not even the victim, as long as the government will give you money. Or they can take money from so-and-so and give it to you. And now they have terms like microaggressions. And so anything that you don't like that is said in any, even the faintest way, you can become offended. And you can lash back because they didn't care for your dignity. They dissed you. Or they were jealous of you. Remember the first murder came in because a brother was jealous of a brother. Well, God, you received his offering. You didn't receive mine. And then how quickly sin multiplied in the world because it come from our hearts. Man is not good at heart. Don't believe it when people say men are good at heart. They're not. Just look at situations where the government is removed, where the situation is the likelihood of you getting caught or somebody getting caught for doing something wrong is very close to zero. Then you'll find out what people do naturally, what it comes from the heart. God wants us, he changes our hearts. We're new creations. We need a new heart. And then he says, I want you to be like me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. The fruit of the Spirit, one is meekness. Look at 6:1, Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. If you're going to wash a brother's feet, don't put it in ice water, and don't put it in scalding hot water, and be surprised and if they don't like it. You know, you're serving. If you see a brother fail and have a problem, realize that that could be us. We could fail. Just the devil is looking for ways, especially if we're believers. He's looking for ways to stumble us, looking for ways to destroy us. And we have to realize he wants to win, and we have to be like the Lord Jesus so that he doesn't win. And we don't alienate a brother because they fail, but restore, mend, heal. Yeah, it may be delicate work, but we have to project the likeness of Christ. Why do you let some doctors cut you open? Why do you do that? Our children sometimes don't understand if we allow that because we trust the doctor. We trust they know what they're going to do and they need it. But if the person doesn't like us and they have spent their whole life in the assembly and they never once greeted us, and then when they see a problem in us, they come to us, that's a problem. If we haven't shown the love, the meekness and lowliness, that people are drawn to Christ because it's his character, and we won't be able to be used of the Lord to help one another because we all need that help. Look, Ephesians 4:2. Look how many of these verses are telling us. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Anybody you don't like or rubs you the wrong way, they're a believer. You know, believers can rub you the wrong way. Of course. Sometimes they rub us the wrong way because we're more like them than we want to admit. And that's why it rubs us. But this verse is for us. Forbear. You know, forbear. Long suffering. How long have you suffered? Meekness and lowliness. Colossians 3:12. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And it says, above all these things, put on love, the bond of perfectness. You think if we all obeyed those verses, we'd get along pretty good? You think in a country, in our country, the things that people are promoting again to divide and to victimize, and they're promoting those things to stir up strife. You think if we put on love, so love your neighbor as yourself. I think if that was emphasized, to love God first, both those things are thrown out. So men are doing whatever they wish. They're their own gods. They make up their own rules. And if they're in power, then you try to stop them. And they'll do as far as you let them go. That's the heart of man. But we as believers, or to cause people to think about Christ. The early church, when they witnessed, says they took note of them that they had been with Jesus. It because his character reflected off of them. We're like the moon. We reflect the glory of the sun. The sun has that inherent glory. Philippians 2, well, I missed the verse in Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. It starts in your mind. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ. Instead of vainglory, he set aside his glory and only was concerned with the other person's good. He esteemed them better than themselves. If people knew that you really loved them, and you would not say something that was hurtful to them, I think they'd be pretty open when you had to say something that might be a little tough. But they know you love them. You know, you're doing it because you're thinking of their good at heart, not because they irritate you. You know, it's lowliness and meekness and love. And over again, he says, 1 Timothy 6:11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith as meek soldiers. We don't seem to think meekness goes with being a soldier. But we can't say, well, it's in this setting that I should be meek and lowly. But in this setting, I'm going to let them have it. You know, it's the character of Christ in every circumstance and in every situation that he wants us to show him. 2 Timothy 2:25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. You know, it's easy to see somebody else's blind spot. And you look at them, you say, you know, they're their own worst enemy. They're just hurting themselves. And we know that's true when we see certain people. But the hard thing is to see it in yourself. Because that's why it's a blind spot. You can't see it. And yet, we do it to ourselves. But here he says, you know, meekness, going in a right spirit to help the one who is opposing themselves, if peradventure God will give him repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth. This is the way we should act. 1 Peter 3:15. How do we deal with people who are not saved? How do we answer them? Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer or defense to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. It kind of presupposes that you have a testimony of Christ. Because if you don't, they're not going to bother to come and ask you, why, what's this reason of hope that's in you? But even in our answer, we should not do it in a way that says pride. That says, well, you know, if you were smart enough like me, you would realize how stupid it is to follow that. That's not going to win anybody in meekness and fear. Because there's souls that God is dealing with. If they come and ask you, God is dealing with them. And they're looking for hope because they don't have hope in the world. The world wants us, you know, men do not make good gods. Everyone that tries to be their own god destroys themselves, ruins themselves. But our God is a great God, and to follow him in his ways, we have such a hope. We have such an easy burden. It's easy and it's light as we learn of the Lord Jesus and we follow him. But pride is very blinding. The world and their pride are blinded to the God who is there. The street lights block out the lights of the heavens, and they never see them. Paul talks about to Timothy about not picking young men and putting them in positions of leadership, lest they become puffed up. And actually the word for puffed up there is very similar to the word for blinding. Because pride blinds us of seeing things as it really is. As we sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus and hear his word, and with an attitude of meekness to receive his word, that's what James tells us, receive his word in meekness, we see things as they really are. Look at Mary of Bethany. She sees things because she sat at his feet and heard his word. She understood what the Lord was going to go through. She could anoint him before her burial. Even though everybody else complained about her, no matter what she did, they complained about her. But the Lord defended her each time. Meek and quiet spirit, Mary of Bethany. But 1 Peter 5, verse 5 and 6, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject to one another. Be clothed with humility. And that word there for clothed is a unique one. It means, it's related to the word for the apron of a servant. And it recalls Peter's looking back to John 13 about the Lord girding himself and becoming a servant. And Peter's exhorting us to be like the Lord Jesus. Be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Do you need grace? You want grace? Just keep that, stay that. Learn of me, meek and lowly in heart. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. The Lord Jesus, whatever cup the Father put in his hand, shall I not drink it? Committed himself unto him who judges righteously. Even when people who were in authority, who thought they were in authority, mistreated, abused their authority. That's hard. We know a little bit about people who are abusing their authority these days. And it's hard to say, God is still in control. And he'll exalt in due time. And to be able to realize that our God is still in control. We don't have to get overstressed out of it. We can still reflect the character of our God. That of meekness and lowliness. How many times did he say this to those early believers? Do you think they needed to hear it? Whenever, find this in scripture, whenever the Lord repeats something, it's important for us to take heed to it because it's very, very true. And its application is very true to each one of us. And we can't just say, yeah, I know somebody really needed to hear that. We need to hear it, right? We need to stop and analyze ourselves and say, well, you know, if I'm having problems with somebody, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm speaking down to them. Maybe I'm acting superior. Maybe I'm triggering them. You know, or maybe I'm on the other side and they did that. They said, oh, they did that just for that reason, you know. You don't really know, but you give them, you don't give them the benefit of the doubt that you give yourself, but you attribute what they did to something that was negative. Well, you know, we might have done the same thing. We didn't mean anything by it. Don't take it as such. You don't have to. Unless it's pretty blatant, give them the benefit of the doubt and keep it before the Lord so that we analyze ourselves and we fellowship one another. Fellowship is we have someone in common. And what we have in common in the Lord Jesus far outweighs any difference of opinion, minor things that we have in our lives. And usually when it comes down to things that cause problems, when you step back and look at them, you say, it wasn't worth the time or effort on it. May the Lord give us grace to be like him. So we pray. Lord, we confess that we are proud. And we want to win. And we want to be better. And yet, Lord, you've showed us the way that reflects how you, what you truly are. Meek and lowly of heart. Help us to take that yoke and the rest that you give, Lord, from any burden we're carrying. We pray this in your name. Amen.